verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the anointing on me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want you to track along with me tonight because we are going to lay a groundwork here that is guaranteed to be a life changer. I want to talk to you, or desire to talk to you, about the law of faith. The law of faith. Now, what is faith? And we found out that in Hebrews chapter 11, let's turn over there because I'm going to do some teaching here. Hebrews chapter 11. He said in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, don't feel in any way left out if you can't find these scriptures as quickly as I speak them. But that's why I wrote them on the board, so that you can, in fact, see them still, and then make note of them so you can go home and study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. There was a time that I was the same way, and I couldn't find, I had put tabs. So, you know, one thing you might want to invest in is tabs. If you're new, tabs. Tabs help to, you know, tab it. And they help you to find. I'm talking about all these things now. If you're serious about this, if you're not serious about it, then you can come and don't even bring a Bible. Just sit up here. But I don't encourage you to do that. I encourage you to really get it and study the thing, because what this Bible can give you can override any circumstances that can come into your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Now, right there, there's an implication. There's an implication that there is something existing that you cannot see, because faith is the evidence of it. And you can't have evidence of something that doesn't exist. Well, maybe you can, but normally you can't. Evidence means that there's something there, but this is the evidence of it. Now, when the thing comes into full manifestation, you don't need any more evidence. So you don't need any faith when faith, what you're believing for, is manifest. You don't need faith anymore. So faith is a substance of things what? Hope for. The word hope means earnestly expected. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. So there is something that exists that you can't see. Next verse. For by it, by what? Faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made, come on, of things which do appear. So the things that we see that God made were not made out of something that was already visible. In other words, you want to build a house. So you go get some bricks and mortar, go get some woods, lumber, so forth and so on, and build it. Well, that's not the way God made things. God made them out of something you couldn't see. Got it? Well, he made the world out of nothing. No, he didn't. Just saying here. He made it out of something you couldn't see, called faith. Faith is a substance. Bricks are matter. They're substance. Faith is a substance. And faith is a substance that God used to create the earth. Oh, boy. Where was the earth? Where were flowers before they were manifested? They were in God. They were in God. They were in God. How did they get out of God? He spoke them. So words are containers. And the words are designed to take things out from its source and bring them into reality into place. Now, who was on the earth, hovering over the earth, waiting for words? The Holy Spirit. Because his job is to manifest the word. God is the originator, Jesus is the word, and the Holy Spirit is a manifester. And all three of these work together as one. Not three gods, it's one God. Okay? Now it goes on down to verse 6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow. Isn't that something? So, when we're talking about this, we're talking about faith, and the way that you and I are supposed to live is found in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse before that, and found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 through 38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Isn't it something? So the just are going to live how?
By faith.
By what?
Faith.
By faith. So the just are going to live by faith. Now, I said something. I said about faith, that faith is a substance, and the just are going to live by it. Now, who are the just?
We are.
It means those who are justified or washed in the blood of Jesus or made righteous by God. That's us. Now, I won't turn to the scripture, but all men, the Bible says, Paul points out, have not faith. Meaning that people who don't know Christ don't have the kind of faith that you have. Now, what they have is human faith. Now, what is human faith? Human faith is this kind of faith. You come out, you put your key, put the groceries in the car, get in the car, put the key in the ignition, start it, and go. Now, how can you do that? Why didn't you come out and check the car first and see if it would start, and then go back and get the groceries and put them in? Now, maybe somebody's doing that, but why in general, why did you not do that? The reason why is because your experiences told you that the car was going to start, because it started every other time, every time. And so now we just take it, put it in there, and that kind of human faith is built upon some kind of experience that we've had that agrees with our senses, that agrees with our logical mind. That's that kind of faith. This is not that kind of faith. This is a higher faith. This faith is based on no experiences. It's based on the fact that in the natural, it doesn't even seem logical. But that's the kind of faith God has given you. It is the same faith that God used. Now, how did he get that faith to you? Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. Let me know when you get to Romans chapter 10. Mm-hmm. You're there, right? All right, look at Romans chapter 10. Just a minute here. I'm trying to see where my notes are here. Okay. Romans chapter 10, and look what it says here at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they've not believed? Well, how shall they believe on him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a who?
Preacher.
And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias, or Elijah, said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh how? By hearing. Keep going. And hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? And hearing what? All right. How does fear come? And hearing what? Hearing by the words of the who? Of the devil. So faith comes by hearing the word of God, and fear comes by hearing the word of the devil. Now, what will fear do for you? All right. Fear will do for you what you don't want, because as you fear something, the thing that you fear most comes to you. Well, if that'll work for fear, let's turn it around. If I can get faith in my life, the thing that I desire most will come to me. Am I right about it? And folks, I think it's just that easy. I think what has happened is God's people, in many cases, have made it hard. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not hard. God wants it to be easy for you. So I've got to hear the word of God. Now, over in Mark chapter 4, he says, take heed what you hear. See, because the measure that you meet is going to be measured back to you. So if you keep hearing the wrong thing, come on, you'll start getting faith for that. Are you with me? I mean, think about it. People hear the news concerning the weather. Okay? Tomorrow we have a big snow. Okay? Now, understand you and me. We are not ordinary folk. Come on. Do I have to preach this here? We are just not flesh and blood in here. Okay. So God is calling us to do in these last days extraordinary things. Something out of the ordinary. He's calling us to do that. And when we hear the condition of the earth saying, hey, it's about to be a snowstorm, now you know what it's going to do. It's going to snarl traffic. It's going to so forth and so on. Now, I know some folk might like it because, you know, they are that way. But normal people, okay, praise the Lord. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I, you know, hey, I got something to do. I ain't got time to be trying to shovel snow out of my... Now, listen at this. When you and I were born, our first birth was a natural one. But when we got born again, we got born from the dimension of the supernatural. Amen. Yes, sir. That is our normal residence.
Yes. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Are you with me? And in that, when God created Adam, Adam didn't learn. He didn't learn. He got information by revelation. Can I talk? God asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some one of the prophets, so forth and so on. All right. Now, what is he doing? Guessing. Now, where did guessing come from? It came from learning. It came from the fall. It came from something called trial and error. Are you with me? Now, Adam didn't have any of that because he didn't learn. He just discerned. He didn't receive knowledge by trial and error. He received knowledge by revelation. We call it exact knowledge. Revelation is knowledge of God. Got it? Now, When we have scientists that do experimentation, we're trying to get to a certain formula so we can help people with such and such a disease. Okay. Notice most times today when they do come up with that medication, it has something called what kind of effects? Side effects. And the medication working the proper way with the proper dosage could help with people. But the side effects that tell you, now this could cause heart attacks, your kidney could shut down, and so forth. Am I right about it? Now, thank God that they had the mind to want to research and find those things. But you got to realize that that was all an approach of mankind trying to fix the problems of the earth in a fallen state. Do you hear what I'm saying? That wasn't where Adam was. See? He just knew. Just know things. You just know it. Now I'm going to show you that we're talking about faith. We're still talking about the law of faith. But he just knew it. Now let's go back. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at two places. Let's go over to John's Gospel in chapter 7. And then 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Let's go to John first. All right? Over in John, chapter 7. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In John, chapter 7, and verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man these letters? Having never learned. Here's what it said in the Living Bible. You ready? How can he know so much when he never went to our schools? Are you with me? Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel. I'm going to go there first. And chapter 13. The just shall live how?
By faith.
You have been born from another dimension. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. I'm going to get off of this. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. Now what is a mystery? All right. Wait a minute. It's knowledge beyond human comprehension. To you, who is you? You have been born again. You are the followers of Christ. It's been given to you to know the mysteries, something beyond anything any PhD in the natural world can know. He's given for you to know beyond that. Lord have mercy, you better come on here. Now, wait a minute. This is important.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Because you don't need to experiment to determine whether something will work or not. Oh, Lord have mercy. Do you hear me? It's going to be revealed to you. Now, the way you have to get this is by faith. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get you there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You got it? Look what it says here in verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has what? Revealed. Underline the word reveal them to us by his who? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? That we might what? That we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of who? God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. When you are walking in the flesh, when a person's walking in the flesh, they can't discern spiritual things. They can't discern spiritual things. You see, Jesus was out with all these people. And the disciples said, let them go back and get something to eat now. They've been with us 3 days. He said, no, they'll faint in the way. He said, why don't you feed them? Yeah. I said, wait. And then he said, they said, 200 penny worth, caught counting up their money. That's not enough for them to all have a little. And one of them said this, watch this. There's a lad here. Now he's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. But what is that among so many? What happened there? Just for a moment, he discerned the seed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just for a moment, see? But think about this. Adam's normal life was discerning. His normal life was revelation. It wasn't information. Information, you need this and you need that and trying to get to that. Well, let me get some more information for that. Not in Revelation. In Revelation, you're going to go right to the bottom line. The devil's in the details. Now, y'all with me? Now, I'm taking you a step higher now. Just stay with me. I told you these 3 days, we're going to change it. But I got to take it up, because if you're going to go up, I got to get you off the flesh. Right. I got to get you operating on a higher level. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. Now, you can discern things and discerning things and seeing things, and you live by what the just shall live by faith, living by something, a substance of things hoped for and evidence of something that you can't see.
That's right.
Now, faith is acting on the Word of God. See, it's not just important that it be revealed to you.
That's right.
See? But the next step is you've got to act on what was revealed. Because what was revealed is not going to agree with your flesh. So now I've got to not be under the control of my flesh, but I've got to walk in the Spirit. I've got to walk in a spiritual reality versus a natural reality. You just stay with me. I'm gonna help make you a millionaire before Friday. Now, you with me so far? Now, let's deal with time. Because the law of faith says part of that is the idea that time is no longer my master. If you allow time, it can be a merciless ruler. Time was not given in this earth to govern you. When you were born again, you were born outside of time. God placed you in time, but not to be ruled by time. Glory to God. Are y'all with me here? The enemy uses time to keep you from faith. Glory to God. Satan's system needs the element of time to make it function as it should. He needs it. Time, if you don't control it, will control you like a tyrant. Time Time seeks to subdue everything and everybody to conform to natural progression. Now, you're going to get what I'm saying in just a minute. And it will imprison anybody that'll conform to it. Jesus came to restore us back to Eden's atmosphere. Back to something called eternal life. So there is a law called time. But if God intended for us to live by the natural law of time, he would never have given us faith. Let me say it again. If God intended for us to live by the natural law of time, he would never have given us faith. Faith is a key to dismantle time. Amen. Think about it. Somebody's rent due. What are you asking the people to give you more of? More time. People don't have the money. And give them more time. How about a doctor? He gives somebody something. Give them a diagnosis and so forth. And said, now, normally people with this don't live any longer than a certain amount of time. Notice time now. Now suppose time no longer told you what to do. Now you think about it. Now what we're waiting on is time. We're waiting on time for the paycheck. Paycheck ain't came yet because it ain't quite that time of the week. But suppose you could regulate time. Suppose you didn't have to wait on time. You better get this. That's what's happening with the glory. People are having meetings and the glory is falling. And all of a sudden, strange things are happening. One man gets up and his pants falls down. He has to grab his pants because he lost 50 pounds sitting there in the meeting. Normally, he would have had to wait on time. You got to see this now, because this is a part of faith, that faith is a higher law than time. As long as faith isn't there, time will rule you. But once faith comes, faith is always right now. It'll bring everything to a halt. Where you would have to wait on the storm to pass, Jesus stopped the storm right now. And he asked them, "Where is your faith?" It'll bring everything to a halt. Where you would have to wait on the storm to pass, Jesus stopped the storm right now. And he asked them, "Where is your faith?" Come on now. I'm talking about George Washington Carver. It's written up. He would go into his laboratory. He calls it God's Little Workshop. A black man, a scientist at Tuskegee back in the early 1900s. Here he was, and he'd go in there. He said the moment he closed that door, he never took a textbook in there because he wasn't looking to learn anything. That takes time, man. You gotta see what I'm talking about. Before it's over, Brother Hagin said it like this: before we leave here, men are gonna walk as gods. He's not trying to make us some kind of, "Well, I'm God." He's coming with the scriptures. He's talking about Psalm 82. He's talking about what Jesus said. Didn't the Bible say you are gods? Jesus didn't have to wait on time. That's what he did when he went to Martha's and Mary at the gravesite of Lazarus, who was dead and had been dead 4 days, and his body's starting to stink. And they said, "If you had been here sooner, my brother would not have died." He said, "Wait a minute, your brother shall rise again." And this is what they said: "I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection and the last day." Jesus said, "I don't think you understand. I am the last day, and I've come back to the now." That's what happens. You're thinking time. You think if you sow that seed, then it'll take time for your harvest to come. I'm telling you, that's erroneous. That is not kingdom. Kingdom says, "I don't have to wait. The moment I sow this seed, But I shared with you that God will never work, glory to God. God, hallelujah. God will never, glory to God. He needs your mental, what did I say? Glory to God. I said that, la rabasata, me que si tambroso, o roco sata rabahanda, eh. It's what? God will not bless you beyond your mental capacity. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think in time, God will wait on time. But if you think in now, you will get it right now. It's not you that's going to get it. It's faith in God. You think you got to wait, and you need to stop that kind of thinking. Now, how does faith come? By hearing. So I had to go over to the scripture, and I said, Lord, I got to renew my mind to this, because my mind is thinking time. Oh, yeah, I got in the meeting and shouted and praised God about, yeah, I can have it right now. But that wasn't in my subconscious yet. That wasn't in my belief system. My belief system is the image of what I really believe. Say amen to that. And God moves by your belief, not by what you carnally thought one time or this conscious mind just grabbed hold to one day that Bill Winston said. You got to go home and reprogram. You got to go home and say, hey, praise God, I believe that I've received this right now. I'm going over to this scripture. Yes, she received it right now. Say amen to that. Jesus said, wait a minute, Martha, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. Not I'm going to be. There's no future in God. Come on, there's no future where you came from. There's only right now. Say amen to this. Turn to Amos chapter 9. I don't have to wait on getting well. I can get well when? Right now. Faith overrides time. Are y'all following me, what I'm saying here? Folks, think about it. The only thing that separates a person from their destiny is time. The only thing that separates you right now from being a millionaire is time. Suppose I could eliminate time. I told those people in Africa, I was preaching there in London, and I was preaching. And when I was preaching, I went back to study. He said, tell my people they can be a millionaire in a month. Now, you know the first thing somebody says? Oh, that don't make sense. You know why? It makes faith. It ain't designed to make sense. There ain't nothing I know that makes faith that makes sense. At least I haven't found it. God told me to come to Chicago with $200. I know that don't make sense. With no place to stay, that don't make no sense. Say amen to that. Amen. God had me walk out of Sherru and say, buy that building. Here we buy that building. That didn't make sense. To prove it didn't make sense, I sent one of our people over there who's in construction. I said, go over there and look at the building. God said, buy that mall over there. He went over there and came back and said, Pastor, yeah, praise God. We can buy that little, right down on the east end, right down there. That's a little place over there. We can buy that. I said, no, he didn't say that. He said the whole mall. Whole mall, man. No, Pastor, no. See, I wanted to prove it didn't make sense. You know why it doesn't make sense? Because the thought is coming from another kingdom. It's not coming from this kingdom. The enemy is used to giving you thoughts that make sense to your flesh. The days for that is over. You're about to move up to a level? Overnight. Are y'all following me?
Yes, sir.
Telling you, that's why he said you're gonna know mysteries. You're gonna know more than folks who've been there, spent academics all their life.
Yes, yes.
You're gonna know more than those folks. I have nothing against the academic world and so forth. I mean, my point to you is once George Washington Carver went behind those doors, he said all of a sudden God pulled back a curtain and he could see everything. He could see how to take a peanut apart and put a peanut back together. I was just down there. Brother Wayne and them went down there with me because we had to go down to Tuskegee Christian Center. And that next day, they went on a tour and so forth. And they went in Carver's lab, and they kind of memorialized it. And they saw all the crude tools that he was using. None of these modern-day spectrographs and so forth. He didn't need it. Because he didn't learn. We're going to work with it. We got two more nights. We're going to work with it. See, God is an originator.
Yes.
He can take your cousin who been on cocaine and blown out of his mind for 20 years, and he can take him and put him in as a top academic professor. God can do that because he's an originator. Your cousin can go to sleep one night, God will take that brain out, put another brain back in there. So that one was dead. Because he's an originator, man. That's why he picked, like I told you, he picked Gideon. He came to him. Now, God could have picked all kinds of strong leaders and people who've been trained in leadership at Yale. He could have picked them. But he went to Gideon. Gideon wanted to know something. Why are you going to pick on me? He said, first of all, I'm the least in my father's house, least thought of. He said, next, we the poorest in the whole tribe. You don't understand, Gideon. God, I came from across the track. Everybody in my family, nobody went to college. All of us was on welfare, so forth. But God said, no, I'm picking you. And picked Gideon and made a leader out of it. And I showed him last week. I said, God had a donkey. Didn't he? Balaam was riding his donkey, disobeying God. And the donkey fell down. And Balaam started whooping the donkey with a stick. And then the donkey spoke. Look here. Boss man. I've been faithful to you all these years. Can't you see something wrong, boss man? Man, suppose you go home tonight and that cat in there starts speaking to you. You know you ought to believe Bill Winston. You ought to believe what he's preaching. All right, where do I have you now? Where do I have you? Where do I have you? Remember, understanding time is the doorway to the supernatural. And you will never start getting true miracles in your life until you learn to override time. And guess what? It can happen naturally for you because all you need to do is get in faith. Faith, the law of faith, is higher than the law of time. It brings time to a screeching halt. It tells time exactly what to do. Now, let's just cover this. We won't have time to cover much tonight. Now, remember, faith is acting on the Word of God. Even though you have a revelation, and you can see things that other people can't see, it's not really going to manifest until you act on what God showed you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And so that is where some people fail the course because they think it's just going to happen just because it's revealed to them. No, faith is acting on the revealed Word of God. Okay, look what it said in verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. You can go get a couple of translations for yourself and look at it and then bring it out. And you'll see that what it's saying is the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and he that treadeth grapes, him that soweth seed. In other words, where you had seed, time, harvest, now time will go away. And the sowing and reaping will come together. no more time. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let's just look here and look here at Mark's gospel now. And Mark chapter, glory to God. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 11, please. Are you with me? So remember, faith is no respecter of time. It is always now. And faith is required to push our way back into the heavenlies. Because what happens is the New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it describes everything that our benefactor has left us in his will. But the key to it is all the blessings of the kingdom are first spiritual. And so you're going to have to receive them by faith before they manifest or can be given to you practically, delivered to you practically. Look what it says in Mark chapter 11. Are you there? All right, it says here in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, said to what? The tree. So he was talking to inanimate objects. You can talk to inanimate objects. Why? You are from the fourth dimension. You have jurisdiction over everything in this third dimension. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, verses 15 through 18, I won't read. That's kind of a parenthetical statement there talking about he went down into Jerusalem and did some things. Verse 19, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city. Watch this. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, what? Dried up from the roots. Now, how long did that take? Overnight. I said overnight. Now, question. While he was sleeping, what was faith doing?
Working.
Isn't that something? You don't have to sit up at night and watch faith. You just say what you've got to say and believe what you say is going to come to pass. And faith is always a rest. Look what it says next. And Peter calling to remembrance, that's discernment now, because nobody else caught it, and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is what? It's withered away. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in who? God. Another way of saying that is have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are you a whosoever?
Yes.
Say whosoever means me. Shall say unto this what? Mountain. What could be a mountain? Something that is some impossible to move in your life. Say amen to this. Be thou what? Remove. Be thou cast where? Into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall, come on, believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he said. That's why it's very important. You know, I told Patrice here, she was the one that puts on my little makeup, and I told her, I said, listen, I'll be there at a certain time. Well, a certain time came tonight, and I wasn't there because I'm busy trying to get this word and trying to get everything ready and so forth. So I didn't come at the time that I told her. And what happened is that something said, you better call and tell her that you're not going to be. I said, man, that's all right, and so forth and so on. Well, what was happening there? That's the way you train your spirit to bring to pass whatever you say. When you say you're going to do something and don't do it, that's not training your spirit. Because your spirit heard you say you're going to do that. Say amen to that. So this is for all of us. The things, believe the things that you say are going to come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you what? Say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you what? Desire. When you what? Pray, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them. Let me read it out of the Richard Francis Weymouth translation, verse 24. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you've received it, it shall be yours. Now, where is everything God's going to do for you? It's up in that fourth dimension. It's right there in the heavens, right there for you in this life. Right. Now, let's prove that it's there. Coming over here to 2 Peter, please. Last scripture. 2 Peter by the book of Revelation. 2 Peter. Excuse me. 2 Peter. And let me know when you get there, please. Chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 1. Simon Peter, and servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Watch this. According as his divine power hath given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. What kind of knowledge? What kind of knowledge? Revelation knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So what am I saying here? A carnal person cannot receive the things of the Spirit. It takes a spiritual person. You're going to have to get out of your flesh. Faith is beyond the flesh. Your faith is in a place where you can't feel it, can't see it, can't touch it, can't taste it, and can't smell it. You got to believe you receive when you pray. So when I pray and believe that I've received things from God that I need here in this earth, I'm going to pray. And once I finish praying, I'm going to believe I've received when?
Now.
Right now. Right now. There's no time in the Spirit. I don't have to wait on it. Now, every day I start praising him. Why? Because it's already done. When I prayed that, faith went to work. Faith went to work. It's doing it right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Every day, I told them people with that envelope, just believe you received the money, and just every day, just spank that envelope. Praise God, you're full. Thank God for it, and so forth. Amen. And you ought to see their testimonies.
Amen.
Why? Because faith is a law.
Right.
And a law works the same way, come on, every time. Did you get something out of that today?
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise. Praise God. Now, what is it that faith cannot do? Can't fail. Can't fail. If it ever looks like it failed, it's because you didn't believe.
That's right.
Prerequisite is that you must believe. Remember, believing and faith are two sides of the same coin. If you got a coin and you got something on the one side of it and the other side has nothing on it, you better check it. Might be a counterfeit. Say amen to that. So believing and faith are the same sides of the same coin. For that coin to spin and to be legitimate, it's got to have something on both sides. Same thing about this. Faith and believing must run together. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I enjoyed that tonight. Praise God. Now, all right. I want to do something before I do this. Did you... Lord, it's 9:07. All right, here's what we'll do. Tomorrow night, I'll start off with answering five questions. And those five questions are questions that you had tonight or you have, period, about faith. And I'll answer those questions first, and then we'll go on with the teaching. Okay? Because I want the interaction with you. Praise God. All right, if there's anybody here and you haven't been born again, this is the right place for you. Guess what? All you have to do is take a step of faith. Praise God. God has really, really been instrumental in getting you here. Your coming here is not a coincidence. It's a plan of God, and God worked it out without you even knowing it and bringing you into this place where you can see and hear the word, hear the good news, and be born again. Now, all of us had to go through the same thing. Thank God for God that he was patient with all of us. But now is your time. So here's what I want to do. I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that if you'd like to. What I'm asking you to do is to get up and be saved. So if you're here and you know that God is speaking to you while I'm speaking to you right now, and you know that your life is not right with God, I want to say a prayer with you that will bring you into the kingdom, same way they prayed for me that night on the north side of Chicago. So if you're here, you know I'm talking to you, you know that this is something that you need to have, you need some peace in your life, you need to get the condemnation and all of that out of your life and make a brand new start, this is your time. I'd like to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. Let me pray for you. Don't be ashamed of it. Pray, brother. Come on over here. Might be somebody over here. Get up out of your chair. Come on down and stand with me here. Come on, I'm ready for you.